We've been working through that, and we've come to Jesus' teaching on prayer in that very sermon. And we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer. We know it so well. Maybe if we can just close our eyes and reflect on Jesus' prayer. I'm going to start this morning from verse 7. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What a powerful prayer and teaching on prayer. We looked at our Father in heaven, the fact that it reflects on His divinity, the fact that He is almighty, all-powerful, our focus on Him, but also our love for Him and His love for us. The authority that He has from heaven when we call out on a Father that loves us, it also speaks about belonging. It also speaks about identity. We looked at, hallowed be your name, that my life may reflect you, that your name may be glorified through the way I live. God, may your name be glorified, esteemed, and honored through the way I live. And then last week, your kingdom come and your will be done. We looked at the fact that God's kingdom is not a physical place, but His reign, His rule in the lives of those who believe in Him. And so when we ask for His kingdom to come, we are not looking for a physical place. We are asking for His reign in our lives. And therefore we pray, God, for your reign and your will to come in my life as it is in heaven. In the same measure as your reign, your kingdom exists in heaven, may it also come down on the earth. And it all starts with you and me, submitting ourselves to Him. So when we ask for His kingdom to come and His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, we are asking God's absolute will and authority and reign in our lives. This morning I want to move on to give us this day our daily bread. Have you ever thought about that verse? Give us today our daily bread. It's quite an interesting question. Oh, my love, here's something for you as well. I forgot. That's not the daily bread. That's just an extra. Wasn't part of the prop, but anyway, it's in the bag. Give us today our daily bread. Give us today our basic needs. It's an interesting prayer to pray. There's so many other things that we could ask, want to ask, and even should ask. But God says, I want you to pray like this. Don't be like the heathen that think through their many words they'll be heard. Know this, your Father knows what you need even before you ask Him. Therefore, ask for your daily bread, your basic needs. The order is so powerful. It starts off with who God is, our Father in heaven. Who He is and His glory in heaven. And our first request is not for ourselves. The first request is for His kingdom to come, His name to be hallowed, and His will to be done. That's our first request. Even before we ask for our own needs, we first ask for His reign and will to be done on earth. So what we're actually doing is we're saying, God, we're asking for your kingdom your rule and your reign to come in my life. That is my first request. Even before I ask you for my basic needs, I'm first going to ask for your will to be done. So powerful the order. So we put God's agenda first. Because for most of us, our main agenda is actually our needs, our wants, our desires. Isn't that true? What are the things that drives us in this life is our own agenda, our own needs, and our own desires. It's so interesting that Jesus says we must start off with asking for God's agenda, His desire, before we ask for ours. And then so interesting, when we do ask for your basic needs. Because actually, God's will trumps my will. God's reign and His name trumps mine. Why should I ask for my likes and my followers if I'm asking for yours to increase? It's quite a challenging mindset, especially in the day we live in. So we put God's agenda before asks, and Jesus expands on this just a few verses later in the same chapter. He says, we know it so well, Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. Instead of going to God first with this, God says, no, first come to me with mine. Focus on me, pursue me, and all your needs, it will be given to you. Again, God's reign and will first, and then all these things shall be added to you. What are these things? It's your basic needs. We read of it in verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or the clothes, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? So Jesus again was referring to the basic needs. Why is it so important that our first request should not be ourselves, but God's name, His reign, and His will? Why is that important? Firstly, because of perspective. There's something that needs to settle in our heart. It is perspective. Who is God and who is not? Who is God and who am I? You are God and I'm not. And therefore your will and your reign is far more important than mine. This is very challenging. When we say, hallowed be your name and not mine. In this world that is so individualistic, is that the word? No. Okay. That focus so much on the individual. That better. Yeah. In this world that focus so much on the individual, this is so difficult to say, God, I want your name, not mine, to be honored, to be revered, to be famous, to be worshipped. May I be insignificant and you significant. It's a challenge for us. When we say, God, may your name be hallowed, we are actually humbling ourselves and saying, it's not about me. It is about you. It's humbling. It's also worship because we're saying, God, I want you to be honored. I want you to be exalted. I want you to be worshipped and not me. It's so powerful in that mindset. Three quarters of what the world pursues is nullified. My name, my fame, my prosperity, it gets nullified when we turn to God and say, may you be honored, hallowed, exalted. The second reason why we focus and ask for God first is we remind ourselves that we submit to His reign. The purpose of me being is to glorify you. and to follow you. If that is my purpose, God, I ask for your purpose to come in my life. My purpose is to follow and to honor you, so I ask for you. I submit to you. I remind myself that I want your will and your reign to come first. Your kingdom and your righteousness first. It speaks about priorities. And then thirdly, it speaks about trust. The reason why I ask for your kingdom, your reign, and your will first, before I ask for my basic need, is because I trust you with everything. I trust you with my future. I trust you with my need. I trust you with everything. Therefore, I first ask for yours. So it's about trust. In Jesus' introduction to prayer, it is this change of focus from myself to God that he emphasizes, and he clarifies the reason why. I don't know if you've ever been in need or anxious about anything, and then you first stop, you pause, you wait, and you rechange your focus from your need to who God is. It is such a powerful exercise in faith, but reality of faith is when you are in need, when you are afraid, to stop. Stop focusing on the need and the fear, because that's what we do. We are human. We tend to focus on our needs and our fear because we understand that in ourselves, we do not have the capacity to meet the need or the fear. We do not have an answer, and so we become anxious. But how powerful it is to stop focusing on the need and the fear and look at God, who is all-powerful, eternal, perfect in all his ways. It is such a powerful exercise to just to stop and look away from the need to God and to say, my Father, my Father who art in heaven, you are good, you are perfect. All your ways are true. There is nothing impossible for you, and you love me. You know what I need, even before I ask you. You know, and you are good. You know what it does? It not just changes our focus, but it gives us peace. It gives me a tremendous peace when I stop looking at my need and my fear and I look at God. And I remind myself, but you are perfect. And I belong to you. You love me. You are my Father. You are my Father that is in heaven. I don't think my children ever woke up in the morning fearing what they're going to eat. I think my children has been privileged never to fear what they're going to eat. And I'm but a man, imperfect. How much more our Heavenly Father that sustains everything. How powerful it is when we look to Him first and we remind ourselves who He is. And then Jesus said in the introduction, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Therefore, pray like this. Jesus again repeats this truth later on in Matthew 6. He says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. But you're not a Gentile. You're not a heathen. You're a child of God. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He knows. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. I'm so tempted to go on what Jesus had to say in Matthew 6. But this morning I want to talk about prayer that is based on the same principle, the same foundation of faith and trust in God, and that He knows what we need even before we ask Him. So God knows what we need even before we ask Him. And I want you just to close your eyes for a moment and think about this. First, I want you to think about this. God is good. All His ways are perfect. He loves you. And He is your Father. You are His child. He knows what you need even before you ask Him. He knows what you need even before you ask Him. What does this mean for you? Just think about that. What does this truth mean for you? Practically, in your life, in the midst of your fear and lack and needs, what does this mean? God knows what you need, even before you ask Him. But He does want you not to seek first those things that you need. He knows what you need, but He doesn't want you to seek those things first. He wants you to seek Him first. Just think about that. What does that mean in your life? He knows what you need. But He doesn't want you to seek it first. He wants you to seek Him first. Then He will add all your needs. He will give you what you need. Okay, you can open your eyes. What is so interesting about Jesus' introduction to prayer is that even though God already knows what we need, we still need to ask Him. Isn't that interesting? Even though He knows what we need, He wants us to first ask Him. Like we read in Philippians 4 verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And you know what's the following verse? And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. But here's the point. The point I want to make is God still wants us to ask Him even though He knows what we need. And the reason He wants to do that is because we need to put our trust in Him. God knows what we need, but we still need to ask Him, acknowledging Him as the source of everything that we need. He is the source of our provision. Or not the source of everything we need. He is the source of everything that He provides in our need. And so that's why we still need to ask Him, so that we can remind ourselves that He is the one that will provide in our need. And so we still need to ask Him. And then, when we ask Him, knowing that He knows what we need, when we ask Him, we must trust Him. He knows what I need. But I must trust Him in how He's going to meet that need. And how much? And when? I need to trust Him that He is good and that He knows. And therefore, I need to go to Him first. I need to trust Him in the when, the how, and the how much. Jesus said, this is how we ought to pray. Give us today our daily bread. Based on who God is. Based on the fact that He knows what you need. This is how you are. Give us today. But what about tomorrow? And what about the unforeseen problems that is still possibly out there? Surely, should I also not ask for not just today, but enough for tomorrow, enough for the unforeseen that might happen still to come? Why should I only ask for today? Should we not have more than enough just in case? Now, for many, their daily need is a reality. There are many in this world that when they pray, God, give me today my daily bread, it is a reality. I do not have any bread for today. Lord, I am dependent on You just to provide for today. And there are even some people here in our church today that might be in this circumstance. In this reality, where they understand what it means to ask God for their daily bread. Lord, if I can just have something to eat today. But for most of us, we have enough for today. We already have enough. As a matter of fact, we probably have enough to buy for the whole month. As a matter of fact, we can buy more than just the basics. God has blessed us already. So how does this prayer apply to us? Jesus' audience of the day was Jews. Jesus spoke to the Jews. He didn't speak to the Gentiles when He gave the Sermon on the Mount. This phrase, daily bread, had a very powerful symbolism and connection to them. Whenever that phrase was used, immediately the Jews immediately understood something about something that is far greater than just physical bread. There was something about this phrase that triggered in the minds of the audience immediately the same thought. If you speak about daily bread, they were thinking about manna. They were thinking about God providing for Israel in the desert with daily bread. Every day, God gave them fresh bread for the day. And only for the day. So when Jesus says, give us today our daily bread, they were all on the same page here. And this is very challenging for us. Exodus 16 verse 4. It's a summary of what they were thinking about. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see if they will obey my instructions. God, give us today our daily bread. What was the instruction and what was the test? The instruction was, every day, I'm going to provide for you just enough for that day. You are only allowed to take what is enough for this day. Can you remember what happened if you took more than what you needed for today. Can you remember? Dit het gevrot. Maggots came and it spoiled. And so when God said, listen, yeah, I'm going to provide for you every morning, but you're only allowed to take enough for today. Guess what most did? They took extra. And what happened? Dit het gevrot. And then God said, I want you to collect for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, I'm going to give nothing. So I want you on the sixth day to collect double for the seventh day. And guess what happened on the seventh day? The first 7 days, what did they do? They went out looking for more. And then there wasn't. You can read what God said about that. But here's the point. The instruction was, you can only take what is enough for today. The test was, will you trust me and obey? Will you trust me and obey? Deuteronomy 8 verse 3 says the following, God humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Lord, give us today our daily bread. Let me trust you for tomorrow. And take what you give me for today. And worship you for it. The first lesson with the manna is, I am your source. And I will provide for you. Not in the way you think or understand or expect. I'm going to provide for you food that neither you nor your fathers had ever known. And I'm going to do it in a way that you do not expect or understand. I'm going to give you every day just enough. And then you need to trust me for tomorrow. And in doing so, you're going to learn that I am your source and I am your provider and I'm able to do as I said I would do. But you have to trust me. Then I'm going to bring you into and give you the promised land full of milk and honey. Abundance, far more than what you need for every day. But first you need to learn to trust me for every day. Then I'm going to bring you into the land of milk and honey. And there's going to be abundance. You're going to be in homes you didn't build. You're going to have vineyards you didn't plant. And you're going to have an abundance. Because I am able to do what I said I'm going to do. But you must trust me. And when I provide for you, Deuteronomy 8 verse 10, when you have eaten and are satisfied in this land of milk and honey, praise the Lord your God, praise the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you, and be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws and his decrees that I'm giving you to this day. When I provide for you, do not forget me. When I give you more than what you need for today, and you have an abundance, do not forget me. You see, when we are in lack, we are quick to ask God and call on his name. But when we have an abundance, more than what we need, we are quick to forget. And so Jesus reminds us, when we ask God, let us ask him for our daily bread. And not forget him in our abundance. Because we tend to look at our abundance and put our trust in it. We put our trust in ourselves. We put our trust in our wealth. We put our trust in some other source when we have abundance. We tend to forget. Deuteronomy continues, verse 16, God who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do good in the end, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and my might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. So whether we are in lack or we in abundance, we should always acknowledge God as our source, and we should always trust him and never forget that he is the one who's providing. He is the one that gives us the ability to have the wealth that we do have. Lest we forget. Always acknowledge God as the source. As Proverbs 30 verse 7 says, two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. The power of contentment. You know, contentment is not just being satisfied with what is enough. Contentment is, I trust you, God, that you know what I need, even before I ask you. And that you will provide for me what I need. When, how, and how much, you know best for me. And because I know you're a good God, this gives me great hope and peace. It gives me peace because I don't need to worry about tomorrow. I only need to worry about today. As a matter of fact, you say tomorrow will bring its own trouble. But your mercies are new every day. I am being renewed day by day. It's the power of contentment. We know it so well. I wish I had more time. But my children say I preach too long. 1 Timothy 6 says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and to many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. The power of godliness, the power of contentment. Contentment with godliness leads to great gain. Because God adds wealth without sorrow and without fear. But I don't have enough time this morning. There is another aspect of our daily bread that I want to end off with. Another aspect of this powerful prayer, Lord, give me today my daily bread. Something that we need every day, that we cannot feed on what we got yesterday, and we cannot trust for what we're still going to get tomorrow. What we need today. We can't take extra for tomorrow. We need for today. We need fresh bread every day, and that is what I will end with. Deuteronomy 8 verse 3 says, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus himself is the word of God that became flesh. Jesus himself is the living bread. In John 6, we know it so well when Jesus fed the 5,000 with bread, multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish, and 5,000 was fed. They came to Jesus and said, how did you get here? And Jesus said, you didn't come looking for me, for who I am. You came because you ate of the bread and you had your full. You had your daily bread. But I say to you, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. And before he says that, they ask him, so what sign will you give us? What sign will you give us? Jesus said, they said to him, our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So what will you give us? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. The bread of God who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger and never thirst. We need God, his word and his presence every day. We cannot live on yesterdays, and we cannot take extra for tomorrow. We can only have what is for today. And so we need God every day. We need his presence. We need his word. We need him to sustain us every day. Every morning, we wake up hungry for physical food, and we feed ourselves. In the same way, every morning, our spirit wakes up hungry for God. What do we feed him with? What do we feed our spirit man with? When we wake up in the morning, when we go through our day, what is our daily bread that feeds our spirit man? Our physical man needs food, and we feed him. But what do we feed our spiritual man with? What do we feed him with? There's a physical need and there's an emotional need. There's a physical need and there's a spiritual need. What do we feed ourselves with? May we feed ourselves with Jesus. Because he is the bread of life. He is the true bread of life that comes down from heaven. And therefore, when we ask God, give us this day our daily bread, we are not just asking God for our physical need, we are asking God for our spiritual need. We're asking God for this bread that comes down from heaven that gives life to whosoever eats of it, that we will never hunger and never thirst. And so I want to encourage you this morning, when you pray, God, give us this day our daily need, that you will know who to turn to. Because the same Jesus you meet today will be there tomorrow. And he knows what you need even before you ask him, so you can trust in him, because he will give you strength for today. And he will give you hope for tomorrow. Because the same God that will strengthen you for today will be there tomorrow. His mercy is new every day. And so with great confidence, we do not need to fear tomorrow, because we have enough for today. And tomorrow, he will be there again. Every day, fresh bread for you and me. Let's eat of him every day. Let's close our eyes. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Lord, we ask you today, give us our daily bread. Give us you, Lord, we ask. Give us more of you for today. Lord, help us to meet with you every day, Lord, and encounter you, experience you, hear your words, Lord, and your presence. Lord, may you fill our spiritual man with good things. Lord, may you give us hope and trust and faith in you. Strengthen our inner man, Lord. Give us the faith and the portion of it we need for today to face this world and whatever the devil may bring and overcome. Because you have strengthened us. You have equipped us. You are guiding us. We are following you, Lord. Lord, I pray for each and every person in this place, Lord, that have need, that they may put their trust in you, that you will provide in their physical need as well as their spiritual need. Lord, I pray for that hunger and thirst, not just for bread, but for you. Lord, may we put our trust in you, not in riches, not in wealth, but in you. Lord, that our faith may not be in our abundance, but let our faith be in you and our knowing you every day. And so, Lord, I pray for each and every one of us. Lord, as we pray, we will seek you first. Your reign, your will, and your righteousness. Thank you, God, that you say that as we seek you first, you will add to us everything that we need. Thank you for this peace that we have, this hope that we have, this assurance that we have, that you are with us always. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming.